there's a part of me that feels like a 50-year-old Tupac is not going to be, he ain't the hero we want him to be. That's not going to be the greatest rapper of all time.
Right.
That's just going to be a dude with some trash ass opinions about like women and respectability politics.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's a whole different animal. Now we're looking at his stuff all through the lens of, you know, whatever that year is. Even if it was today, we're looking at it all through the lens of 2020. We're like, bruh. You and Harvey gonna share a jail cell if you don't calm down.
Tupac, shut up, man. You weird. Your jeans are too big and you're making me uncomfortable with your thoughts. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another, a magnificent, a devastating, a spectacular episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep, super deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories, and we finally figure out where the government is hiding Jazzy Faye. Where's Jazzy, government? We know you got him. Fuck Carmen San Diego. Show me where Jazzy Faye is. Where in the world is Jazzy Faye? Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen!
I need to know where Jazzy Faye is. He didn't do anything to anybody. The man's probably... He probably did. I have no idea. I haven't been doing my Jazzy Faye research. Maybe he got canceled some point along the way and I just don't know. This is exciting. I'm your host, Langston Kerman. As always, I was thinking about this the other day, that this is the only, I think, and I dare to say this, this is the only conspiracy theory podcast where we say the word nigga and it's not coming from a place of hate. Do you know what I mean? Every other conspiracy theory podcast, they call people nigga and it's a mean nigga. But this is a kind nigga. This is a loving nigga. My dad hates that I say the N-word so much. But you know who doesn't hate that I say the N-word? I have no idea how he feels about me saying the N-word. It's my guest today. He's spectacular. He's hilarious. He's an amazing actor. A champion of champions. You know him from Insecure. You know him from Mrs. America. You know him from his podcast, The Untold Story Policing. He's the best. Give it up for my guest today, Mr. Jay Ellis, everybody.
Hey! Are koala bears racist for real?
I don't know.
I heard that whisper in there.
You know what it is? They're from Australia, and I feel like almost everybody in Australia is pretty racist, so willing to go that way.
Oh, I won't hold a koala bear ever now.
Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't. They're also filled with diseases. There's like a real rule. I don't know if you've ever been to Australia, but there are like real rules in certain cities that you're actually not allowed to hold koala bears because they are, number one, super like endangered and also covered in diseases.
That they only give to black people.
Yeah, specifically. Yeah. They hold out. They're like, nope.
Are you darker than a paper bag? Is you darker than a paper bag? No, you don't get it today. You don't get it.
The koala bears love the paper bag test. They can't get enough of it. How are you?
I'm good, bro. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. This is a good day. I'm glad you're here. You brought to us a conspiracy theory that I feel like, and I dare say, is the first conspiracy theory I ever subscribed to. That like okay. I ever was like, oh, wow, I think I believe in something that the world doesn't want me to believe in, if that
okay.
makes sense.
Okay.
You said, and I want to make sure I get this right. You said, my mama told me.
Tupac is alive and hiding in Cuba.
Yeah. She got it from a magazine, bro. She got it from one of the joints in the grocery aisle. You know what I'm saying? And she came home one day and she showed it to me. And she was like, you got to believe it because the Inquirer said it.
Sure. Why would the National Inquirer lie to us?
I mean, they're a truth teller, right? Like, that's what they do. You know what I'm saying? So I rocked with it.
It's yeah. got to be real.
It's got to be, bro. They had pictures. They had facts. I don't know if they were where they got the facts from, but they had them, you know?
They had them. They put them in bold so you knew that they were legit. Yeah. Wait, so your mother, in fact, was the person that first introduced this to you?
So here's the thing. So my grandpa, my mom's dad, was a truck driver. And when he would stop, he drove all across the country, right? And his thing was literally to get the Inquirer, all the what do they call those things? Now I can't even think of them. He would get all the magazines, the tabloids. There you go.
Yeah.
He would get all the tabloids along his stops, right? So as he would stop and see us, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time. And when he would stop and see us, he would always like give a little bit of wisdom. So
sure.
I think my mom was actually like, he was the first person that told me there was an alien cult that worshiped Oprah, for example. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. He was okay.
Well, that's how they get
he was out there just throwing them.
He's coming back home every time with a little treat for you to go a little more crazy with out in Tulsa. Just let's shake things up around here.
And then he get in his truck and he dip. Well, I think my mom, I think, was actually telling me this as a joke. I think she was like playing. I think she was making fun of my grandpa. You know what I'm saying? I don't think she was necessarily truthful that Pac was hiding in Cuba. Maybe she was. I don't know. I should ask her about it. But I remember her coming home one day and she had bought an Inquirer, and it was like one of those super, super grainy photos of like a black Cuban on a beach who happened to be bald headed.
Just one dude with a goatee, and it was like, that's too, there he is.
And he had a tattoo. You know what I'm saying?
It didn't even say Thug Life. It just said Trabajo. But you know. Yeah.
So after that, you know what I'm saying? She put it in my head.
I got you. And so she puts this in your head. Well, your grandfather, he puts it in her head. She puts this in your head.
Right.
And then do you believe it? Are you 100% bought in?
Yeah. I think we all were. Like, do you remember the first time you heard about it? I think when we saw the images, because even the images weren't so clear that it was him, because his head was turned the other way, I think, or it was kind of like slumped down. So like, it almost felt like it could be staged or it could have been somebody else. And so, yeah, I fully believe that Pac was in Cuba, 100%.
Well, to your point, so many of the images related to Tupac's death were like unfinished. Do you know what I mean? Like, we never got like a definitive, that's Tupac, he dead, photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think everybody was like, I don't know, bro. There's a lot of space for negotiation at this point, because we don't know. We never saw it. Nobody saw him dead.
Also, everybody knew somebody bought. I went to school with a kid named BJ Coleman. BJ looked like a young Pac. Like, everybody knew somebody who shaved their head, who had a mustache, or who had a goatee, who like, at the right distance in the right light with some fake gold on that's gonna turn their ears green.
Listen, you know, from 100 yards away, I am Tupac. If you get me 100 yards away, I'm Tupac. Up close, I'm a completely different person. But at a certain angle in the right light, we could all be Tupac.
You're right.
It's a fascinating thing, because I remember specifically hearing that Tupac had gotten shot. And he didn't die instantly. Mm-hmm. And so I think so many of us, like the other times that he got shot, were like, oh, he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll bounce back.
He'll bounce back. And then he supposedly didn't bounce back. And so it was like, nah, I think he bounced back.
Yeah.
It's just I refuse to think otherwise.
And then when all the stuff came out about like the relationship with Shug and not paying him and buying him cars to drag him along and all that, then you're like, oh, I understand why a dude would fake his death and run. Like, it all started to like make sense, where you're like, oh, like the cops are mad at him for this. Shug won't pay him. He got, you know, he feel like he in a deal with the devil he can't get out of.
Right.
You understand why this dude, you know what I'm saying, is like, yo, I'm going to fake my death and run. You get
right. So to your point, and I think this is very fair, he had legitimate reasons to want to fake his death. This wasn't like a guy who just did it for entertainment value. He legitimately was caught up in like, you know, what they call like the 360 deal and like the whole thing where he's being scammed out of his money. Tupac was the most famous man alive who basically wasn't benefiting from his own celebrity.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, if I'm in that situation, you know, the insurance money looks good for the fam. You know what I mean? The insurance check looks good for the fam if I'm in that situation. You know what I mean? There's only so many people you can go to for help, because you are who you are.
Okay. So you hear this, you believe it. Do you start spreading it? Are you the conceiver of this conspiracy theory? Are you patient zero in your school? Or do you go and people are like, yeah, we already knew that, Jay. We got it all figured out.
My middle school was all black. And I feel like, so everybody in my school knew about it. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I got there and I was late. You know what I mean? I got there and they was like, man, where you been, bro? Where you been? Like, right. Of course he hiding in Cuba.
This is in the curriculum. We learned that in English class.
Like, Mr. Williams was teaching about it last week before he was even dead. So what you talking about?
You know the nigga gonna die and go to Cuba, right? I'm just saying.
Yeah, there was a couple kids that even popped in my head that I could think of who looked at me sideways like, yeah, man, what you mean? Like, of course he in Cuba. Like, he bought a house. You know what I'm saying? Like, his kids is with him. His wife is with him. And, like, he just kicking it. Making music with, you know what I'm saying, Bob Marley or somebody. You know what I mean? Like, they just started adding on to the conspiracy. Who else was down there with him?
Well, that's where, to me, became challenging to keep following the train is, like, people started, like, suggesting all the people that knew and were a part of the conspiracy theory. And it's like, you don't get to disappear and kick it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to keep vibing with everybody that's cool while simultaneously fully disappearing off of the face of the earth.
Somebody gonna snitch.
Exactly. Nobody's being that cool where they're just like, all right, I won't tell anybody, Pac.
Especially for free.
Yeah, for free. Also, we can all travel to Cuba at this point, which has been completely cut off from America. Yeah. But that's fine.
No resources. A communist ran country. Like, let's just go down there and kick it. That's what we're going to go do.
Yeah. We'll just hang out with Tupac. Okay. So you believe it. Your friends at school believe it. Is there a point in your life where you stop believing in this theory? At what point do you jump off of the Tupac is in Cuba train? Or have you jumped off? Maybe you still bought in.
No, I jumped off. I did jump off. So here's what I think would happen. I think in 2000, there was all the conspiracies that, like, that's when he was going to come back, right? Yes. It was the Mayan calendar, and 2000 is when Pac was going to come back. Those were the two things. It was like, I don't know which one to believe. And where I'm from is the Bible Belt. Like, it's a church on every single corner. And so, like, there were churches that literally would buy billboards and put up, like, the Mayan prophecy and, like, that the world was going to come to an end in 2000, right?
But then I would go to school. Wait, hold on. Yeah, bro. Wait, so these churches are
super conservative churches.
Yeah.
They would get billboards saying that the world was going to come to, like, are you good with God? You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Have you repented for your sins? Because the end is near, right? Coming
so
in 2000.
So they're doing like some cross branding shit. They're like, all right, well, if y'all all think the world is ending, Jesus is still the way.
Yeah.
You got to get good with Jesus. Otherwise, that Mayan, that's going to get you.
That's going to get you. So you could come over here, or you can deal with the Mayans.
Or you can deal with the Mayans. And they ain't even around no more, so we don't even know how to act with them. Do your thing. You choose.
Yeah. So it was a combination of that, and then all of a sudden, like, in school, it just started floating around that, like, Pac was going to come back in 2000. So here I am thinking, like, oh, one of the two is going to happen. Either the world is going to end, or technology is going to melt everything down. Remember that whole thing where they thought it was all going to go back to zeros? They thought, like, the computers weren't ready for 2000.
Right. Y2K. Y2K, and it blows my mind still that this was what Y2K was, but that was the whole premise, was that our computers weren't going to be able to figure out the difference between 0000 and 2000, and so it would make rockets go off and explode the entire planet. Kind of thing.
Satellites were going to come falling out of the sky. Cell phones were going to be, like, crisscrossed with, like, you know, government signals, you know what I mean? Government radio. So it was like all this stuff was happening at once, and then Pac was supposed to come back. So I feel like for me, when none of it happened, I think that's when I got off the conspiracy train altogether. I think, like,
I got you.
You're right. When my computer didn't shut down, I was still able to get on AOL. You know what I'm saying? And still go to Black Planet the next day. You know what I mean? I was still able to do that on the next day. The world was still there.
All that corn you had bought, it went to waste. Cans of green beans you had locked in the basement were unusable. It's like, all right, well, maybe Pac isn't coming back. You brought up something that I'm sure our white listeners have no idea about, but was a very important thing to me in my youth, Black Planet. Let's talk a little Black Panther.
Yes, sir.
Were you active? Were you an active member of Black Planet?
I was for a little bit. I was through college, and then I got off. I was for a little bit. I ended up going to the school that I went to. If you were Black at my school, you were an athlete. So there was very few of us there. Yeah. And then just in general, the city, even I was in Portland, Oregon. So even being in that city, it didn't have a huge Black population. Yeah. Black Planet was a way, at first it was a way for me to kind of connect with like all my people who were either back home or friends of mine who had went to, you know, some of my friends went to Howard and, you know, Grambling and like went to Black schools and so HBCUs. And so it was partly a way for me to kind of like keep connected with them. And then after a while, I just kind of fell off. And then Facebook kind of kicked in and then like, I kind of like fell off and got on the Facebook train.
Yeah, because Black Planet sort of existed in that weird window between MySpace and Facebook. That, like, MySpace, I guess we would say, is the one that initiated it all. But then Black Planet came around and people were like, yeah, this is cool. Black people talking to Black people, hollering at Black girls who I don't know. Like, that was the whole energy. And then Facebook came around. We were like, I don't know. I'm just going to talk to these college kids that I actually relate to.
Yeah. And you couldn't compete. I mean, Facebook had just gotten so massive at that point. Even out the gate, it was huge. So it was hard to compete. You know what I mean? Out the gate, it was big. So it was hard to compete, I think, in that
Yeah, that's fair. I think Facebook, it just had the branding behind it that a lot of the Black Planets of the world just couldn't match. And that's probably true about a lot of Black products out in the world. Like, we be making some cool shit, but then the Mark Zuckerbergs show up and they do it with all the money and we can't. Yeah. You can't compete.
Take it, market it, flip it, sell it back to you.
All right, so you stop believing in this Tupac thing.
Yeah.
Since, have you found yourself jumping back on board at any point? Have there been times throughout the... Because Tupac's sort of, much like the year 2000, I think there's been a bunch of other markers that people have thrown out of like, well, this is the 20th year, which means he'll be back now because the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
the Machiavelli, the...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All the different claims of why he waited this long have sort of popped. We've gone through all of them, all the windows at this point. Has there ever been a point where you were like, all right, I'm back on board. I think maybe there's a possibility.
I'll say this. When Pac was at Coachella as a hologram, I was there that year.
Okay.
And my thought process might have been inhibited in some ways, if you understand what I'm saying. And so, you know, seeing the hologram made me start thinking, like, what if Pac actually came back, right?
Right.
And so then I went down this whole thing of, like, okay. First, I'm thinking, like, yo, what if Pac popped up on stage with his hologram and him and the hologram are battling, right? Like, that was my first thought. Like, just like, how crazy would that be to see Pac and his hologram? But then, like, would Pac be out of shape and the hologram is like, you know, like diesel'd out? And
there's like, no way he's still buff. This one, you know what I'm saying? He's in his 40s, deep in his, he's probably 50 deep. Now. Like,
yeah. And then, like, does real Pac know all the lyrics still or is he out of breath? You know what I mean? Like, while hologram Pac is like just killing it, like, he's on. He got all of it. And then I started thinking about
Tupac,
like,
regretting the words that he wrote down in 1996. He probably
thinking about his kids. Like, damn, I got a daughter, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I can't be up here performing. I got to go see my kids.
Talking about how do you want it? I got a daughter. You know what I'm saying? So then I started thinking about, like, what would happen if Pac actually came back? Like, how would we receive Pac? How would Pac fit in to this world? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, by that time, you know, Ye is huge. Jay-Z has been doing it for 15 years at that point, almost 20 years at that point. Eminem is come and gone. Nelly, you know what I'm saying? You have all these rappers of the time, Nas, whatever. You've got all these rappers of the time who have, like, come and gone, and whatever that new crop of rappers was at the time, like, would he be able to, like, be up there on stage with them and, like, spit with them? You know what I mean? Like, like, what would that be like?
I think that's the scary part about all celebrity, if you will, is that, like, I mean, we've heard it over and over again. It's like, you either die young enough to be a hero or you live long enough to become the villain kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, the best case scenario is Pac does like a Snoop, right? And you just become like, you know, the type of dude who does cooking shows and like weird sort of like you vibe with Martha Stewart and you sort of like build yourself as this cutie pie in the media. Or worst case scenario, you know, he turns into whatever the scariest version of what Tupac was back when he was, you know, at his height.
At a PTA meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Going like, off on some kids.
Right. He's just spitting on a white lady across the way. Fuck you mean I can't come to the bake sale?
Yeah. My fofo gonna make sure all your kids don't grow. Wait a minute, Pop. You can't say that at a school. Pop, you can't say that at a school.
There are actual children here. You can't speak that way anymore, man. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more Jay Ellis and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. Yeah, we're back here with more Jay Ellis, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the possibility that Tupac is still alive, kicking it in Cuba. This is going to lead us easily into the research. So were there any other locations that you felt were possibilities for Tupac still being alive?
Yeah, I heard he went to like a Polynesian Southeast Asia type island for a while, mm-hmm. you know, something like that for a while. And then remember when Dave Chappelle went to Africa?
Yeah.
I heard, like, I remember one of my homeboys was like, hey, you know, Chappelle is going to see Pac in Tanzania. And I was like, really? That don't feel right. Like,
right. What are they going to talk about?
Why? They don't even make sense. So they going to do Kilimanjaro together? They going to go on a hike? Like,
right.
Although that's I would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation at the same time, because it would be a lot of genius.
I mean, that's the thing is like you want it to be real because it's like, oh, the greatest with the greatest. That'd be cool to witness. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know that Dave Chappelle and Tupac have a lot to like vibe on. Like this dude's been gone for however many years. Dave Chappelle is sort of at the height of celebrity. Maybe they talk about that for a while. But then after that, they live very different lifestyles.
Very, very different lifestyles.
All right. Well, I think all of that is useful because it brings us into the research. And the Tupac lives in Cuba is just one facet, I guess, of so much of what I found. I ended up stuck in a lot of YouTube videos where it included people explaining conspiracy theories. And then it was like people who had like basically made deep fakes of songs of Tupac, like explaining exactly how he escaped from University Medical Center and made it out of the United States. It's a mind melting journey that I think I ended up on. But one of the places, along with Cuba, that sort of became popular as a place that Tupac might have ended up in was Malaysia.
Okay.
You remember hearing anything about Malaysia?
Okay. Maybe that's one of those like East Asian island like rumors that I heard for a while.
Yeah.
Like he was in Bali or something like that. Well, no, that's Indonesia, I guess. But yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So apparently, Suge Knight's son in 2019, Jacob Knight, which how dare you name your son Jacob when your name is Suge, man? I know it's not your birth name, but you got to come up with something better than Jacob.
Could have came up with something better than that.
Right.
Could have been like Pepper.
Right. Like. Come on now. But Suge Knight's son, Jacob Knight, claims and posted it on Instagram. He had an IG video where he claims to have met up with Tupac in Malaysia in like this busted ass apartment where he's just basically like hanging out with him. And he has like all these videos of what is supposed to be Tupac. And it's just this black dude, much like what we talked about, from a distance with the mustache and the beard, bald. He had the bandana tied up because apparently Tupac hasn't changed his look in 30 years. But he's
sitting
there.
Is it the
same
bandana for 30 years ago? Or is he like getting new bandanas in Malaysia?
I want to believe it's the same one. I want to think it's his lucky bandana and he's just been wearing it for 30 years. But he's sitting in an apartment and Jacob keeps going, "What up, Pac? How you doing, Pac? What's going on, Pac?" And the dude who's supposed to be Tupac won't say anything. He just like is staring back at the camera unresponsive.
Do we know if there's been any substance abuse issues in the Knight family?
I have to assume so.
I'm not judging it. I want everybody to get help. I just would like to know if that aided in the conversation with Pac.
I think what was happening was at the exact same time Jacob Knight was dropping a documentary about his relationship with his father, who was then and currently is in jail.
Right.
And I think that he was using this as potential press for the release of that documentary, because I watched a bunch of interviews where he basically went on news shows and they were like, so was it really Tupac? And he'd be like, you have to watch my documentary to find out. And it's like, get your ass out of here.
Did you watch the doc?
I did not. I couldn't bring myself to give Jacob Knight my money. It doesn't feel like it's going to a good place.
Nah.
Okay, so here's my favorite of the other alternative places where Tupac is supposed to have gone. My favorite is there's actually a current film being made by a guy named Rick Boss. Have you heard of Rick Boss? He's not at all related to Rick Ross.
No, they're not cousins.
It's not a cousin.
He's not from Miami. He's not like plus size.
He is plus size. That part.
Does he have the
He's plus size and he has breathing problems, much like a Rick Ross. But his name is Rick Boss, and he is making a film right now about Tupac's escape, not to Cuba, not to Malaysia, but in fact to New Mexico. He claims that Tupac escaped University Medical Center and went to New Mexico to live amongst the Navajo tribe.
So he didn't go that far. So first of all,
my
guess is, I mean, I don't know the Navajo tribe very well, but my guess is, much like any other culture and any other group of people, it's always a snitch in the group.
Yep.
At least one.
Yep.
So my guess is somebody would have came out like, hey, bro, you're not Native American.
Right.
You're not with us.
Hey, man, we don't know you.
Yeah.
You don't just get to fly in and like make yourself at home.
Like, you can't come to the picnic. What's up, bro?
No. Right.
Something about that don't make sense. Also, it feels like if you're going to run, you know, he was in Vegas at the time. That's like, 300 miles, 400 miles, 500 miles maybe to New Mexico. It feels like you want to get a little bit further away. Than New Mexico?
I totally agree. And I think the claim that Rick Boss makes is that Tupac is able to sort of find protection because of like the government laws about like treading on Navajo land, right? That in theory, they are able to protect him better than anyone else within the borders of the United States. Where I take issue with this is that white people have stolen and done things on that land that's protected for centuries. They not tripping off of the idea of going to arrest someone on your land just because it's Navajo. They do it all the
time.
They've
been doing that. They've been
doing
that. Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. But the Navajos, I will say, like, the Navajos are known to be some bad motherfuckers. Like, they were warriors. They were warriors.
they also have Thug Life written on their belly.
Yeah. I don't know about that one, man. I feel like that one's a little too, it's just too close. It feels like if you don't go, you got to go.
Well, my favorite part of this Rick Boss movie, because it's not, I want to be clear, this is not a documentary.
Who is playing who?
Thank you so much for asking that, because this is, in fact, my favorite part. Tupac is being played by a Mexican man named Richard Garcia. Hey, and when I say Mexican, I don't mean a black Mexican. I mean a very Mexican man who vaguely looks like a Mexican Tupac is playing the role of Tupac in Rick Boss's film.
What? What are you talking about? Is this okay? Let me ask you this: is his complexion the same as Pac's?
It is not. It is closer to mine, which I assure you is not at all mistakable for Tupac in any way. Our listeners at home,
I'm so confused.
There's a substantial difference between my skin color and Tupac's skin color.
How did they do this casting, bro?
I don't know.
Was it an open casting call? Is it Rick Boss's cousin? Like, what is going on here? This makes no sense.
They have to be related somehow. But my favorite part of all of this is that when asked whether or not he personally believes in the conspiracy, Richard Garcia responded, nah, he gone. And that was it.
I like Richard. Rich.
Yeah, he's like, listen, Rick Boss pays me. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he has so much to pull from in his research on the character, at least what he's been doing since 96, 97. You know what I mean? Even though he believes he's gone. I feel like I'm interested to see where that's going to go.
It's a fascinating journey to see this man make a feature-length film that nobody is going to buy into, and even including his fucking main actor.
But come on, man. Like, let's just talk about this for one quick second. Are we saying that this is an imagination as, like, what would happen if Pac was alive and that's where he went? Or
no,
is Rick Boss saying that 100% Pac went to a Navajo reservation?
He is saying he knows for a fact through his connections to, apparently he knows Snoop Dogg somehow and knows, like, members of Tupac's family. He says that he spoke to them and they have assured him that Tupac is in New Mexico being protected by the Navajo Nation.
I don't know. I just don't. I feel like Fanny Shakur is not going to sign off on this. Like, something just makes me think that, like, the thinker that she is, she's not going to sign off on this. It just feels, something feels a little off. Something feels like she wasn't consulted.
Oh, you mean that reasonable black lady who lost her son isn't going to, like, follow the dude who hires a Mexican man to play him in a film? That makes sense.
Yeah. Something don't feel right.
So there are other theories that I think we should unpack and really talk about. Have you ever heard of the Sevens theory in relation to Tupac? Okay, this is exciting because if you liked Rick Boss's film, you're going to enjoy the Sevens theory. The Sevens theory argues that the reoccurrence of the number seven in Tupac's life is proof of him being still alive. Number one, he was shot on September 7th. That's the first thing that people point to. He was shot on September 7th. He technically died, although they say he died 6 days later. If you count the day that he was shot, which was 11:15 p.m., and you count that as a singular day, he died on the seventh day after in his hospitalization. Then he was pronounced dead at 4:03 p.m. 4 + 3 = 7. And finally, and this is my favorite one, Tupac's birthday is on the 16th. 1 + 6 = 7. And if you add that all up, Tupac somehow is still alive because 7.
Somebody should be playing dice, number one, with all these sevens keep popping up. All these sevens keep popping up. Number two, who took the time to do all the math to put all these sevens together? And what if you have sevens in your life and you're not Pac? What does that mean? Like, should somebody test the theory out? Like, what does that even mean?
You're right. I think you're asking a very important question that I'm sure they didn't consider when they were adding all this shit up. They were like, all right, I see a lot of sevens. That means he's alive. And it's like, yeah, but many people have a lot of sevens in their lives. What are you doing?
Also, it's a stretch to get to them sevens, too.
Yeah.
It's not like, three of them sevens were stretching.
Right. Literally, besides the first one, they're all just some shit you're really pulling hard for. People, I think, to your earlier point, were very desperate for Tupac to still be alive, and they were willing to pull and pick wherever they could to try to make sense of this whole thing.
Who came up with that? Was it somebody black?
I hope not, but I don't know. I want the best for us, so I'm going to say, nah, it was a white man, an evil white man who came up with that. But I have no idea. I have no clue.
I'll be looking for sevens all day long now. It's 10:47 right now.
Tupac alive.
It's 10:47 a.m. right now. I was born on December 27th.
Whoa.
Your t-shirt has 867 in the first three numbers.
That's right. Talk that talk.
You know what I'm saying? So when you put it all together, it just adds to the seven theory.
Yep. Tupac's
the
still alive.
The 777 theory that Pac is alive.
I like what you did right there.
All these sevens, bro.
Hold on.
All these sevens.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. You don't know nothing about that.
You don't know nothing about that. He's spitting bars, you idiots. Tupac alive. Look at all these sevens everywhere. Okay, so here are some of the arguments that have supported the suspicion that Tupac is alive in Cuba. In 2010, Tretch, of Naughty by Nature fame, Tretch, during an interview where he was asked about Tupac's death, responds by saying the last time he saw the man, he was in Cuba.
Was this a paid interview?
Probably. I have to assume so. It's 2010. This ain't Tretch at his most successful and popping.
I don't want to I don't want to dig in nobody's pockets, but I'm curious if the tax returns warrant an interview where you're paid to say some crazy shit. I'm just curious.
Your accountant sits you down and he's like, hey, man, we're going to need something hot this year because
we got to do something.
It's starting to dry up around here. These residuals, they're not covering everything.
If only you could earn $7.
Oh, man. Okay, so the other reason and sort of the other lead reason that Cuba is sort of picked as a place that Tupac ended up is because Assata Shakur, godmother mm-hmm. of Tupac, was mm-hmm. already mm-hmm. located in Cuba under political asylum. And so the suspicion is that Tupac naturally went to a place where he is both, you know, has a relationship with somebody and somebody mm-hmm. who already has found protection in, you know, a country. And so he did the same and, you know, is kicking it there with Assata.
Nah, I mean, you know, I hope my aunt takes me in wherever she is. If I need to go, I hope my aunt takes me in. You know what I'm saying? She was in Cuba for different reasons.
Yep.
clearly, you know, when we go back and look through the history books.
Yeah.
You know, I am very appreciative of her taking in her nephew and looking out, you know?
Yes. I think that there's a dangerous conflation happening here in saying that Tupac's supposed fake death is comparable to this transformative figure in history.
Remarkable woman.
Who was accused of murder that she didn't commit and had to flee a country is not the same as a dude who had a weird friendship with a mean man who stole money from him. It just ain't, I don't know that we want to compare the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
But I appreciate her for taking him in, if that's the case. If she did do it, you know.
Yeah.
It just goes to show who she is.
Good lady.
You know what I'm saying?
Still a good lady.
She's a good lady.
All right. So here's now we get into, I think, the biggest sort of like red flag in all of the Tupac theory is Suge Knight. Suge Knight is sort of like the guy who makes a lot of this stuff complicated because when Tupac was killed, as you know, I assume, Suge Knight was the only other person in the car with him. He gets in the car with Suge Knight. He, in fact, tells his bodyguard and his girl, Quincy Jones' daughter, tells them both to get out the car and go in a different car separate from him and Suge. And then all 14 shots are fired, four of which hit Tupac, two in the chest, one in the leg, one in the arm, and none hit Suge Knight. One grazes his head, and he claims the bullet is still in the skull from the day that Tupac was shot.
I will say, if you think about his decision making,
mm-hmm.
since that year,
sure,
something's been, you know, something's a little off. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's behaving like a man who's been shot in the head. Maybe
with a bullet still in there, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe
still
the bullet
pressing on a load somewhere.
It didn't go all the way through. That's clear. You're obviously alive and well, but you're not as sharp as a man without a bullet in his head.
Yeah. So I'm confused. So Pac told Kandata and the security guard to get out of the car and to get another car, or Suge told him?
The suggestion is that Tupac did that. And this is the argument, at least, that perhaps Tupac knew that this thing was coming and he was going to use this as his chance for escape. That this was all sort of staged as a way of keeping everyone not only safe, but also for him to be able to make his grand exit from the United States.
Go with me for a second.
Yep. Hold on. Wait a minute. Because now you're getting into something that feels like you have are you about to pitch me a theory?
I'm about to pitch you an alternate theory.
Okay, I'm going to give you, this is a fun time because now we're introducing a fun game I like to play. It's called Talk That Talk. I like to give my guests 30 seconds to go down a train to fully explain whatever they got in their head. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I'm going to play some music underneath you. Jay Ellis, Talk That Talk.
All right, here we go. So he knows it's coming, but what happens is he doesn't get out of the car in time. The hit is really meant for Suge, because Suge won't give him his money, right? Mm. So he doesn't get out of the car in time. He takes the hits. Suge then knows that he set it all up. So Suge now is coming after Pac. So as soon as Pac gets out of the hospital, he goes to Navajo Nation with Rick Boss on the 7th of October.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Talk that talk, Jay Ellis. Rick Boss was in it the whole time.
From the day one, bro. From day one.
There is something fascinating, though. If Tupac did, in fact, tell his security guard and his girl to get out of this car, there's a real possibility that he knew this hit was coming and maybe, by your argument, staged it to handle Suge. It didn't work, mm-hmm. and then he had to escape because he had started
to flee. Because he started a war, so now he had to flee.
Wow. Tupac.
And he called his boy, Rick Boss, and Rick was like, yo, I got a spot for you.
That's amazing.
They're going to take you in. You're going to be a little lighter than what you are now. You know what I'm saying? We'll get you some bleaching cream, but,
you're gonna
but
have,
we got you.
You're going to have to really Sammy Sosa this look a little bit, but otherwise, you're going to do it. You're going to be free.
You can never leave this reservation ever, no. Even though you're a multi-platinum.
Listen, if you thought being black was bad, we are taking you somewhere that's even tougher. But you'll be alive, and maybe you could come back. Probably
you
not.
You want to know another group of people the government has shit on even more than you?
Yeah. Certainly more effectively than they have black people.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, this is the last piece of important information for us to unpack before we go to break. The last thing that I'll tell you is that, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is that Tupac spends 6 days in the hospital and then he supposedly dies. Suge Knight claims that he visited Tupac in the hospital and at one point was doing fine, was like totally up and awake and laughing and joking, and then at some point took a dip for the worse. Now, the day after Tupac dies, his body is cremated. They don't give any time in between the death and the cremation, and the open funeral, the open casket funeral that was supposed to happen for Tupac is basically canceled. And they just like cremate his body. Nobody ever sees the body. And this is one of the main arguments that people make, that because we haven't seen his body and because they made a point of keeping the body secret, that he is still alive.
All I heard in there was Suge went to see him and he was great. Uh-huh. And then when Suge left, he wasn't so great. That's all I heard in that whole thing. He was great when Suge got there, but when Suge left, he went downhill.
All I know.
That's all I heard. I don't know nothing else, but that's what I heard in that whole theory, bro.
I love that Suge's just snitching on himself. He was like, nah, he was doing good before I showed up. And then, I don't know.
And then I left. I don't know
what happened to him. So this is the even scarier part, to your point, is that there are suggestions that the person who did the cremation said that the body that he cremated was 50 pounds heavier and taller than Tupac was. That it basically was just a larger man than the person that he was meant to be cremating based on like the hospital records. Mm-hmm. And then that man who did the cremation never worked again. That's what all the conspiracy theories say, that he was not only taken out of the cremation business, but that like no one ever heard from him again.
So we got two people missing in all this. Possibly three, because we got a body that's been cremated and we don't know the identity of that
person.
We don't
know that man.
We don't know where Pac is. And now our cremator is gone and has disappeared as well. So we got three missing people in this case.
Yeah. And Rick Boss knows where they all are. He can tell us.
on the reservation. Yeah, they are. Yeah, I don't know, man. Something about that just don't feel right. Again, something about that just seems a little weird. So we really don't know what happened to the cremation guy?
According to the weird YouTube videos that I watched, no. I don't think that there's a lot of tracking of cremation guy. But I will say this. I don't know where most cremation guys are, so I don't know that that's evidence right. of anything. Like, right. It's not like I know who cremated anybody, and I've certainly I haven't been keeping tabs on like those celebrity cremators. You know what I mean?
It's not a spreadsheet floating around. An air table floating around.
Right, that's not a BuzzFeed article. Who? Which celebrity cremator are you that you fill out? You know what I mean? It's bullshit. Oh, all right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with more Jay Ellis and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back. Yeah, we're back here with more Jay Ellis, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about what happened to Tupac, the Cremator, and the Cremate. We want to know all of this shit. These people are missing, and Jazzy Faye. All of them are missing, and we want to know where everybody is, and we hope they're in New Mexico doing fine, learning about the Navajo Nation and everything they've got going on.
Jazzy Faye and Rick Boss are doing an album together.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Jazzy Faye!
I'd love that. Oh, man. If Jazzy Faye and Rick Boss link up and do a collab, that'd be beautiful.
Jazzy Faye gonna do the score for the movie.
Oh, if Jazzy Faye's on the score and it's just My Goodies playing underneath like the murder scene.
Jazzy Faye!
Ladies and gentlemen!
I'd love that so much. All right, we're gonna play a game. This is a fun game that I like to call White Lies.
Ugly, you are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
White Lies. This is a fun game where I am going to introduce to you a traditional white conspiracy theory, one that is widely supported in the white community. And I would like for you to take the time to unpack why you think this conspiracy theory is so important to white people. What are those sneaky motherfuckers up to? You got it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. So apparently, white people for years have been arguing that LSD, the drug LSD, was invented by the government specifically as some version of mind control or some version of manipulation of the population.
And it was tested on soldiers, right? Wasn't that the whole
thing? That's the argument, that it was tested on soldiers. And one of the bigger conspiracies that comes out of that is that John Lennon of the Beatles is murdered because of his knowledge about where LSD came from, and he started talking too much. Like, he started being too hot on the microphones about LSD, and so they get a guy to take him out. Why do you think, Jay Ellis, that white people believe in this conspiracy about LSD?
Because they don't want to believe their government is corrupt and actually created the entire drug problem. That actually drugs came from the government.
Like, right.
and have been widely supported and financed by the government. That's the only thing I could think of, man. Because, you know, you don't want to believe your stars and bars is the problem.
Yeah. This is them just fully, like, being made awake for the first time to, like...
Mm-hmm.
They're like seeing something that otherwise has been pretty blatantly clear in
all day.
Yeah.
In heroin, in crack, in coke, in weed, whatever it is. It's been blatant in everything else. But LSD is where they woke up.
Right. I like that.
For some reason. Maybe it's like after they took a hit, you know what I'm saying? After they took a tab, they had a moment where they saw it. All the pieces kind of just came together for them in this beautiful, like, you know,
right.
it's like a Van Gogh painting, like a Starry Night or something. You know what I'm saying? All the colors just started bleeding together, and they were like, Uncle Sam gave me this.
I love that this was the first time where, like, it just felt beautiful that, like, oh shit. Yeah. Oh, this is the government. Oh, this isn't that different between crack cocaine and everything else that they do in different communities. Yeah. Okay.
But I do love the idea, too, that it's like there's some mind control element to it, because I feel like that's also a huge part of it. It's like if it was just a drug that, like, the government had put out in the world, I don't think they would support it. But I think the mind control piece of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The Tea Party love that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It feels like the government is trying to take your rights from you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Big Brother is watching you. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a whole...
Well, that's
a whole slippery slope.
Yeah, I think you're getting into something that's really important with white people, is that they, like all people, don't like being controlled. But they especially have not been controlled, at least... in terms of, like, the traditional ways that we look at control in the world and politics. And so even the premise of somebody coming in and taking advantage of them or controlling their choices feels like a criminal conspiracy theory that they need to unpack. When in fact, you probably were just getting high with your friends and losing control of your own body.
And if they wasn't so high, they'd probably grab their guns and go storm a Capitol like like they did in Michigan and everywhere else. You know what I'm saying? But they were tripping too hard, so they couldn't figure it out.
Honestly, these drugs have been huge for race relations. And if, in fact, the government did invent them, I hope they keep inventing more drugs. I hope you invent all the mind control drugs that keep white people more, you know, as timid as they need to be to keep us from being attacked and
keep us alive.
Right, murdered for their pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, I think we did it. I think we nailed it. I think that that was perfect. Jay Ellis, can you tell everybody where they can find you? Cool shit you have going on?
Yo, man, socials, you can find me at J-R Ellis, J-A-Y-R-E-L-L-I-S. Cool shit. Nah. I'm just kicking it right now. Insecure on HBO, Top Gun next summer, Mrs. America on FX, Hulu, The Untold Story, Policing, wherever you podcast. And that's it, man.
That's a lot of cool shit. He's a cool dude. One more time for my guest, Jay Ellis. Hell yeah.
I thought I was going to get the horn.
Oh, you want the horn? I got you. We'll throw those in, too. Hilarious. And as always, follow us, you know, like and subscribe and do whatever weird shit you do to the podcast. I'm really enjoying reading all of the comments. I hate myself enough to read everything that people write, and I'm having a ball. I truly am. Some of them are terribly mean, and I can't get enough of them. So please keep commenting, liking, and subscribing. And and if you have anything that you would like to send me, drops, artwork, recordings, whatever it may be, please send them to mymamapod@gmail.com. Send anything and everything there. I would love to see it. Bye.